Democrats are nearing yet another self-imposed deadline for a deal on President Biden's Build Back Better agenda, this one at the end of the week. To analyze this make-or-break week, I'm joined by Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report with Amy Walter and Tamara Keith of NPR. Hello to both of you. It is Politics Monday. So, Amy, let's talk about this Build Back Better. I remember asking the two of you about this last week. I remember Tam wincing as I asked her about it. I will not forget that look anytime soon. But there does seem to be, as Lisa Desjardins was reporting early in the program, some movement. Yeah. Talk about the forces at play here right now.
You've got so many forces at play, right? You have congressional Democrats who are worried about a real deadline at the end of the month with transportation funding running out. You've got the president who's looking at wanting to go overseas with a victory, especially on something like climate change. And you have the governor's race in Virginia with the Democrat who's saying, I need to have some momentum so that Democrats in my state feel good about what's going on across the river in Washington, you know, feel as if Biden is actually getting some stuff done. President Biden's actually coming not far from here, where we are sitting right now, on Tuesday, tomorrow, to try to rally support. But it would be more helpful for Tara McAuliffe if Joe Biden were actually getting a lot more done.
And one of the things that Amy's mentioning, Tam, are these international climate talks taking place in Scotland. The president's heading over there. He's using that, among other things, as a reason to say, let's do something.
Certainly, he is saying that is part of the artificial deadline. There are so many artificial deadlines and this White House has made clear that they think that these artificial deadlines are helpful, that they are clarifying, that they can push to get Democrats to move. And President Biden has certainly been more personally engaged in the conversations, getting down to sort of nitty-gritty details of what might be in and what might be out, or at least they're talking about it more publicly. Whether they can actually, you know, whether he can throw some climate action in his carry-on bag seems pretty unlikely at the moment. Who knows? But, this would not be the first time that an American president has gone to an international summit on climate and said, America is going to do stuff.
It's going to lead the way.
We are going to lead the way on climate. And then, you know, Congress has different ideas, or, you know, more ambitious plans do not materialize.
For sure. And Amy, you were telling us at the same time there's a disconnect to a degree between what is being talked about in this big Build Back Better package and what voters are thinking
about.
Right,
especially independent voters. And those voters, many times, are the swing. They're the reason why one party or the other wins, especially in really close elections. We've seen support for Biden among independents drop double digits by about 15 points, at least in the Gallup polling, since February. And I think a lot of it has to do with COVID and frustrations that they're seeing about other things that are happening. But the economy is another big piece of this. We hear it a lot talking to voters, swing voters especially, inflation, things costing more. And so while Washington is talking about these issues that many people care about, it's not that they don't care about climate
child
or that they don't care about
credits.
Child tax credits.
Right.
Their day-to-day lives right now are consumed with still worrying about the pandemic's impact on their lives. We've been reading stories. You all have been talking about the fact there aren't enough child care workers. Right. It's still challenging to get your child into child care. People still not going back to work, on top of the fact that things just cost more. And that's where voters are sitting right now. And so it makes it a challenge then if it looks like Washington isn't paying attention to the things that matter right now in their lives.
Which has to be making Democrats pull their hair out because they thought, you know, these are things that really are important.
And things that generally poll well, especially among Democrats, their base voters.
That's right.
So, Tam, Amy brought up these governor's races that are happening right now. President Biden today in New Jersey campaigning for Phil Murphy. As she mentioned, tomorrow he's going to be back in Virginia, closer race. Former Governor Terry McAuliffe running against Glenn Youngkin, the Republican. What do we know at this point? This is a vote that people are voting now in Virginia, but what do we know at this point about how these races are shaping up?
an indication, I think, that Terry McAuliffe is nervous is that every single Democratic superstar that you can possibly imagine who, you know, whose name is on the fundraising emails, they're all coming to Virginia. They're all hanging out in Virginia. They're all coming back to Virginia. This is a close race. It wasn't clear at the beginning that it would be a close race, but it is certainly close now. And part of that is that Republicans are really fired up. This is the way it works every Virginia governor's race. It's the year after the presidential election. Republicans are out of power. Democrats are in power, wanting to forget about Trump. Terry McAuliffe is making the race sort of about Trump, sort of about things that people care about. And Glenn Youngkin is walking this tightrope and seemingly relatively effectively of wanting Trump's support, wanting Trump's base, not wanting to upset those people, but, you know, mentioning things like critical race theory or some of these culture war hot buttons, while at the same time trying to be extremely palatable, sort of a pro-business Republican in the Mitt Romney mold.
Right. You know, one piece I saw this morning was talking about he's wearing this red fleece
yes.
vest that, you know, moderate Republicans might wear,
dad.
But he's
yes.
talking about critical race theory and speaking about other topics, if you will, that former President Trump would like to hear about.
Yeah, I mean, what's fascinating about these last 4 years, especially in a state like Virginia, where Donald Trump has been front and center, he's blotted out the sun. Everything has been about Donald Trump in the 2017 governor's race, in the 2018 midterm elections, and in the 2020 presidential election. And the support for Democrats has gone up each one of those years, from 2017, 18, and 20. And he's not there anymore. But Terry McAuliffe, to Tam's point, is trying to attach him as closely as possible to Glenn Youngkin. So we're going to find out. And it's also happening in New Jersey. Phil Murphy's talking a lot about Donald Trump, connecting Trump to his Republican opponent. Can Trump still work as a motivator for Democrats, especially in these blue-leaning states? And that's, to me, what one of the most important things will be after these elections are over is, if it doesn't work, Democrats are going to look at themselves and say, well, what are we going to talk about next year? Because this was going to be one of our plans to motivate voters.
And not as if Mr. Trump isn't going to be around.
He will be around,
know,
but he's not
know.
In the White House this time.
Before I let you go, Congressional yep. Women's Softball Game, the
yes.
women reporters playing women members of Congress. We know the women journalists are going to win, right?
Bad
Always.
News babes for the win.
Excellent catcher, and she...
An excellent pitcher right over
so
here.
An excellent pitcher. I mean,
so we have
literally the whole
Politics
game right
Monday
here.
Right here, pitching and catching.
All to benefit breast cancer.
Yes.
Amy Walter, Tamara Keith, go girls. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.